Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The liturgical scripture readings for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land. When will the new moon be over, you ask, that we may sell our grain, and the Sabbath, that we may display the wheat? We will diminish the ephah, add to the shekel, and fix our scales for cheating. We will buy the lowly for silver, and the poor for a pair of sandals. Even the refuse of the wheat we will sell. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, never will I forget a thing they have done. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm. Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor.
Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor.
Praise you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, both now and forever.
Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor.
High above all nations is the Lord. Above the heavens is his glory. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high and looks upon the heavens and the earth below?
Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor.
He raises up the lowly from the dust. From the dunghill he lifts up the poor to seat them with princes, with the princes of his own people.
Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, first of all, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings, and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as ransom for all. This was the testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth. I am not lying. Teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. It is my wish, then, that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, a rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, what is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward. The steward said to himself, what shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do so that when I am removed from my stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes. He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, how much do you owe my master? He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another steward said, and you, how much do you owe? He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children in this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of the light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Kevin, we are at the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and today our readings, we're going to hear a lot about how important it is to distinguish between worldly treasures and heavenly treasures. You know, most of us are going to spend our entire lives working through this issue, detaching ourselves from everything that separates us from God.
That's exactly right. So the scriptures, as you mentioned, ask the question today, who do you love? Do you love people or do you love the world? And as we heard, the gospel ended with, you cannot serve both God and mammon. So love in the marital context has five characteristics. It's a decision. It's permanent. It's a self-gift. It's based on knowledge and it's life-giving. And if you don't love your spouse in this way, it's not love, it is use. We're called to love people and use things, not the other way around. So this is what Amos decries in the first reading. The love of money over the love of God and the love of neighbor. And the love of money causes the corrupt to trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land, all in pursuit of an empty idol.
Exactly, exactly. And we hear the line in the reading, we will diminish the ephah, add to the shekel, and fix our scales for cheating. We will buy the lowly for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. Even the refuse of the wheat we will sell. In other words, Kevin, even the worthless, non-nutritional byproduct, we're going to sell that in order to make a profit. You know, these lines could be taken right off the front page of a newsletter today. Many Israelites at that time, they had reduced the practice of their faith to a set of rules and guidelines. They resented the laws that governed the Sabbath because those laws meant no business transactions could occur on the Sabbath. And for many merchants, that represented a significant financial loss. Those same merchants exploited the poor with unfair business practices by rigging their scales to measure out a smaller portion of grain and inflating prices on the basic necessities of life, making it very difficult for the poor and the needy to survive. And that's what happens when faith grows cold, when worshiping God is reduced to something as benign as following a set of written rules. The law of God is so much more than an inscription on a stone tablet. The law of God lives among us in the person of Christ, the lawgiver. And this greed that seeps into the hearts of man, we see too much of it in almost every large corporation. Now, there's nothing wrong with capitalism. In fact, capitalism is what drives successful commerce. But it's the greed that infiltrates the hearts of those who control corporate decisions. That's what's sinful. Some will argue that corporate officials can be as greedy as they like so long as they don't break the law. And the next question should be, whose law? The law of God or the law of man? I mean, technically, the Israelites who resented having to close their shops on the Sabbath, you know, they weren't breaking any laws, but were they really keeping the law of God in their hearts? And we're going to hear more about that in the gospel reading.
Yes, but first, when we talk about that, love of God then calls us to love neighbor. I think that's really what St. Paul is talking to Timothy today in his reading, in the second reading. It says, first of all, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone. That prayer and petition out of the love of neighbor is so important. And for those who sometimes maybe struggle with prayer, maybe it's dry in their lives right now, think about praying the ACTS way, A-C-T-S. A prayer can be as simple as A, adoration, C, contrition, T, thanksgiving, and S, supplication.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And St. Paul also encourages the faithful community to pray for their civil leaders. Because if those leaders are inspired to make good decisions, then the entire community will benefit. And we're encouraged to do the same. Especially to pray for the Pope, the Cardinals, the Bishops, and our overburdened priests who often struggle to meet the needs of large parishes, sometimes even multiple parishes. And we need to pray for vocations to the priesthood. After all, if there are no priests, there is no Eucharist.
And how important that prayer really is. We can bring those petitions and our longings and our needs to God and let God decide how he will answer those prayers. How important that is.
Yeah.
Well, the gospel, very interesting story today. Someone, Carla, is losing his job. But more than that, he's also losing his status.
And he gets worried. Yeah, so we hear about this dishonest steward, and yep, he is losing his job. So the dishonest steward in this story comes up with a scheme to get in good with his master's debtors so that when he is out of work, and that's going to happen very soon, he can go to them for food and shelter. And when the master learns of this clever scheme, he commends the steward for acting so prudently. Now, at first, that sounds very confusing. How can Jesus tell a story that gives approval to underhanded business practices? Jesus is making a point that many people are more concerned with securing worldly goods than by securing their salvation. Realistically, everything we have belongs to God. And so the same as the scenario in this reading with the steward and his master, everything belonged to the master. The steward is being fired for cheating his master. And that's what mortal sin does to the relationship between man and God. But the steward then tries to make amends by reducing the debts of his peers. Again, he uses what belongs to his master to do good, even though he hopes to benefit by having a place to go for food and shelter. So the servant first is fired for cheating his master, but then he uses his master's wealth to do good for others. This relationship between servant and master is a portrayal of us and God. Again, everything belongs to God. When we commit mortal sin, we separate ourselves from God. We're fired, right? And we are essentially cheating God because we have wasted what he has given us. But when we use his blessings to help others, we then share in his act of redemption. Jesus sums it all up by saying, "No servant can serve two masters. He will hate one and love the other." He doesn't say that wealth is bad. He only cautions against dishonest wealth, the kind of wealth that takes possession of the person. When a person serves his wealth rather than the wealth serving the person. And this applies to all the blessings that God has given us, that we should be generous as the steward was and use our blessings to help others, to reduce their burdens in any way that we can. And this doesn't apply only to monetary wealth. We all have different gifts and talents. Some are really good with people, and some have great baking and cooking skills. Others have musical talent and writing skills, and others have skills in IT and management. When we use our goods and our talents and our skills to reduce the burden of others, it helps us to prioritize so that we remain the possessors of our goods and do not become possessed by them. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Modern Day Radio. For more information about this show, go to moderndayradio.com. That's MATEREDEI radio.com.